Thank you very much, Rajendra, and thank you very much to my colleagues who have spoken before me. I thank them for making my job a little bit more easier. But I take a little bit of a different view from the perspective of DCAD in terms of capacity building. Persons with disabilities are considered to be the largest minority on Earth. And unfortunately, they, when it comes to their participation in IG discussions, their number can be counted on fingers, and we still have some fingers left if we start doing that. What does this mean? This means that in 20 years of IGF discussions, though you would find that every IGF has had sessions and discussions on persons with disabilities, about persons with disabilities. I myself have participated in about five of, this is my fifth IGF out of 20. So 25% of the IGF I participated in. But there are very few who participate. And then this raises a question. Are we building the capacities in the right manner, or do we need to do something else? Is it the question of just capacity, or there is something else which is required? In my understanding, capacity building is not just required from the user side or the participant sides to enable them to participate in the IGF discussions, but it is also required on the organizer's side, as well as one of my earlier colleagues talked about knowledge creation. So on the side of the person who is creating and producing the knowledge in a way where it is made accessible for people who access the knowledge in a different manner. So the question that those knowledge producers need to ask themselves is whether that knowledge would be accessible to those persons with disabilities or not. And lastly, the point I want to make in my initial intervention is that the disability is a transnational, transgender, transgeographic, transracial subject. It can catch anyone and everyone at a time when we least expect it. And it's not by choice, it's by design. So everyone working in the places of decision making, be that knowledge production, be that capacity building or website production or whatever else, they need to think whether can I make this accessible? If not, then sometime, someday, you yourself might need it and may find it inaccessible for yourself. I stop there. Thank you. Thank you very much, Ganella, for this question. And from your question, I take two key points. One is the capacity building in education, and the second is accessibility of the platforms. With regards to capacity building of persons with disabilities and what is written in the GDC and other instruments, we have discussed this. And the only example I would give here, and I would relate that with the implementation of GDC and my earlier comments, is the CRPD that I just mentioned, United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. I don't know the exact number, but what I am sure of is that out of 123 UN member states, over 180 have signed and ratified this convention. But in some states, its implementation is wonderful, while others lack in its implementation. The states where it is wonderful is because of two reasons. One, because there was strong advocacy. And two, they had strong systems, because once you commit to something, you have to implement it. And on the other hand, on the second stage, they had very strong advocacy from within, where the people with disabilities, they themselves came forward and have their governments implement the CRPD. Similarly, coming to the GDC and accessibility of the platforms and capacity building, perhaps we can start by bringing more people with disabilities into IGF discussions. DCAD is doing both things, building capacity and bringing persons with disabilities. But it is working at the global level. We need people coming from the grassroots levels, which would be national and regional internet governance forums and school on internet governances. And perhaps our fellow DC could contribute in that aspect. There are a couple. I can give examples, but for the fear of taking more time, I would just illustrate that DCAD since 2023 has been able to bring at least a couple of fellows to these discussions and have them participate in the IGF at the global level. But having two or three persons with disabilities where thousands, three, four, or at least 6,000 participants are participating in person or online is not just the peanuts. It's even less than that. So, as someone earlier said, we need more finances if we want more voices of persons with disabilities. With regards to accessibility of platforms, this is second thing, and it can come with low costs as well. But there, I would have to say, unfortunately, also, as I said in the beginning, we need the capacity building of the institutions and organizations. In 20 years of IGF as existence, still we find certain inaccessibilities with the IGF platforms and its websites. So it does not just mean that there is lack of capacity amongst those who do not know about accessibility, but there is something else which I don't want to name the lack of willingness, because that would be too much a strong word, but I don't have any other expression to use for that. And I stop there. Well, the question that I have from my fellow DC representatives is the, well, we can discuss this tomorrow, but certainly this comes in the way of capacity building as well. This is very important year, we all know, with all the WSIS 20 plus review and all of those things, feature of IGF. So have we had the capacities built to prepare ourselves of what is coming next? Yes, so I would just echo the statements that my colleagues made, and I would substantiate with the examples from in the disability field. And what is the motto of DCAD fellowship program is that we do not set any limitations on the fellowship. Of course, we cannot provide moon or business class tickets if they are required, but certainly within reasonable limits, we try to meet the individual's needs. So each individual as human have different requirements and needs. We can apply the case study as with the persons with disabilities, since they have different needs. So those needs have to be met when you want to make the system or policy or platform accessible. Same is the case with the capacity building. You cannot have set checkboxes, or if you want to make a list, it would be a long one that would give you some indicators that who, when, and where to target. For instance, there are a number of capacity building online courses that train people with regards to different aspects of the internet governance. Many of the organizations run those courses, but if you do an accessibility audit of those online courses from the perspective of people with disabilities, there are very few, and I am using the word very because I don't have any other word to use that, where you would find no accessibility issues. So it would mean, in other way, that those courses, online courses, capacity building, which could have been easier, less costly, and less cumbersome for people with disabilities to follow and to learn from their places of their convenience, you made them inaccessible for them. So platforms need to be made accessible. Internet Society's One Course, Disability Leadership in Internet Governance, is one example. And that organization is trying to meet the needs and make the course accessible for people with disabilities. The next question comes that how do you market that product, that there is this course available that people with disabilities need to take? And it's not just that you have the capacity building course, and if you do not have the right learners learning that course, doing capacity building, who would you build that capacity for? Thank you very much. I would just say that the Dynamic Coalition on Accessibility and Disability is trying to build capacity of people with disabilities, and not just people with disabilities, but also the IGF system, to make those systems accessible and inclusive for all, so that people with disabilities can also contribute in the system meaningfully. Now, changing the mindset is one thing, but we start from the low-hanging fruit where we try to bring people with disabilities to the discussions through capacity building training program. We just do not bring them here and leave them, throw them in the pond to swim by themselves. We provide them with a mentor along with an online training program first. We also have, for the system, guidelines which were updated back in 2024 to make the meetings accessible for people with disability. The IGF Secretariat benefits from those guidelines, but it does picks and chooses, or the guidelines of convenience sometimes, as I am fond of saying. Those guidelines are there to make the event accessible, so it should not be pick and choose that what is convenient. If it has to be that, and if there are any financial constraints on implementing all of those guidelines, then there should be a discussion that what should be prioritized in the case of making the event accessible for people with disabilities. Without asking them first, making the decision is not the right approach. Lastly, I would say yesterday we had a session on the Beyond Tokenism. That was something where we talked about having persons with disabilities in the future leadership spaces. And this is where the takeaways of that sessions comes in. People with disabilities should not just be participating, but they should be making the decisions, because nothing about us without us. Thank you.